All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful, gorgeous, unbelievable day for golf this Saturday, July 8th, I think. August 8th, we're into
It's not July anymore.
My summer's going away. 2015. Pleased to have in studio co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, a top 100 golf hitter in the country, Woody Lashin, my good friend. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
So, I mean, what a day. What a week. Oh.
Today's day to go play golf.
Yeah, I know. It was.
I played hooky.
I played the other day, I was telling you earlier, and it was another day like that. And I was just thinking, you know, we're so fortunate to play this game. I played with a couple of retired teachers, a couple of old coaches of mine. They were, you know, guys that meant to me when I was younger. And it's just, we're so fortunate to play a game that we can play a sort of recreational sport and be able to have conversations and reminisce and enjoy and spend quality time with people that you really enjoy being around. It's unbelievable.
Absolutely. That's why it's a great game.
Yeah.
And you can play with a young person, an old person. You know, there's no other sport you can do that and be competitive.
Yeah, and be able to handicap it.
Right.
You know, where and so that we're all, everybody's all on, for the most part, a level playing surfers.
Unless there's some sand in their
sandbaggers. Looking forward to today's show. I'm going to burn our first break, but we're going to have Wingfoot Assistant Pro Grant Sturgeon. He's going to be teeing it up with the big boys at Whistling Straits. When we come back, you're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015. 1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
Welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to have in studio Woody Lashin. And on the line is assistant golf pro at Wingfoot, Grant Sturgeon. How you doing, Grant?
I'm doing well this morning. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, we're glad to have you on. We're looking forward to having a nice chat with you this morning, get your insights into teeing it up with the big boys at Whistling Straits. But maybe we should start with the PGA National Championship, the Professionals Championship. You were sort of right in there and going into the last day. Talk about that round a little bit.
You know, it was a fun experience the entire week, you know, down in Philadelphia. The members and the PGA, they put on a great show for us. And you know, it was fun. I had three really good days, and I had myself in position, you know, the last round to where I had a chance.
Right.
And, you know, that's what we try to do. And, you know, unfortunately, I didn't get it done. But, you know, just to be in the mix and to feel those feelings of trying to get it done down the stretch, it's what we all seek.
Did you kind of expect, were you playing well coming in there? I know you've had a pretty good season, a lot of you know, top tens on the local tour here. Were you kind of feeling it going in there, or was it kind of just kind of showed up on you?
Well, I had high goals and expectations when I headed there that week. You know, it was a very good track for me. I'm fortunate to get to play, you know, here at Wingfoot, two amazing Tillinghast golf courses. And, you know, it was Philly Cricket Club was a Tillinghast design as well. And, you know, so it really fit my eye. I was comfortable, and you know, for the most part, throughout my career, I've been more competitive the longer and the tougher a track is. So, you know, when the winning score is going to be somewhere between even par and 10 under, those seem to be where I'm the most relevant. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I certainly was looking forward to it and expected to play well.
Great. Why do you think that is? Why do you do better when the golf courses are harder and the scores are higher?
You know, I really don't know. I wish I knew the answer to that.
That's a good answer.
I'm 37 years old, and I'm still trying to figure that one out. And, strangely enough, I work on that a ton with Mike Diffley, who helps me a lot on the mental side. And biggest hurdles I'm trying to get over is, you know, when I'm on and striking the ball well, is just continuing to keep my foot on the gas and post some lower numbers. So hopefully I'll... I was able to do that one time last year in the last round of the National Assistants, and just hopefully, selfishly for myself, hopefully that'll start to happen a little more often.
It's one of the amazing things about these young generation of these kids. They really, I think, one of your probably strengths is playing smart and being able to grind out and knowing when to, you know, playing the percentages is probably why you're able to. To play tough tracks and know how to attack it strategically. But it's amazing, these young kids, how they're really not afraid to go low. I mean, you look at the web.com scores, and they play, you know, they get on these tracks, and the winning score is 25 under. If you don't shoot, you know, 8 or 10 under in the first day, you're done.
No, and I mean, you're 100% correct. You know, it just seems like when I grew up, Nick Faldo was kind of the premier number one golfer in the world. And, you know, he was probably the greatest strategic golfer, especially of his era, and probably one of the best of all time. And I actually spent a couple years working at the Ledbetter Academy there at Lake Nona when David was still, based out of Lake Nona. And I'm sure that has a little bit to do with it, it's just a frame of mind, and it's fun to watch all these young guys playing golf. I think a lot of it has to do with Tiger and how he played with no fear, for his first 15 years of his career. And now we're seeing all these kids who grew up watching Tiger play that way, and they just absolutely go at it. You know, it's hit it as far as you can off the tee, find it, attack the pin, and try to make as many birdies and as possible, and then just get it up and down when they're not executing. So there's definitely been a change in the way the best in the world prepare and how they attack golf courses.
You know, Grant, I'd love to talk to you a little bit about what you're working on with Mike Diffley, because I'm sure most of our listeners are probably a little older, and you know, you've got our nerves are a little frayed, and we start thinking about things on the golf course, and that tends to derail us. And I know he does a tremendous job on the mental side. I know his program, but to tell us a little bit, like what you're working on with him, and how you when you go to play in a big tournament, you allow yourself to focus on each shot.
Well, the biggest thing we do is we just try to simplify everything. And the best way for me to do that, I'm a pretty analytical guy, and I grew up very blue-collar in a very rural area. So I kind of grew up from the frame of mind that I was going to outwork everyone. And in a lot of things in life, to outwork everyone, that's a good trait and a good quality. But on the golf course, sometimes that isn't the best. So, you know, I try to prepare as far as just mentally having a game plan and knowing myself before I go out on the golf course. But relative to just playing golf, we literally work very hard on me just trying to be a big kid and just have memories from when I was, 10 years old and 15 years old, and the range to where I used to shag my own golf balls, to where, being in the moment of every shot and just playing it for, the love of that shot. There's a special feeling for all of us, whatever level we play golf at, when you feel impact and you know it's right, and you're executing, what you've already just seen in your head. And so that's what I'm trying to do, is just play for the moment and the opportunity of each shot. And, let myself be very happy or disappointed with myself for that, quick 5 seconds after the shot. But after that, check out and check back in for the next shot, as I approach my ball. So, just overly simple, have fun, just embracing the opportunity.
I think that's great advice. I think if more golfers did that, it would definitely help them enjoy the game a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, and that's
better.
What it's done for.
Exactly.
No, you know, it's a results-based, you know, sport like anything else, but we're playing it for fun. And that's what Def has just done for me. He has literally, you know, I've loved golf. I started playing it when I was 3 years old, and it's what I've loved to do my entire life. And before coming to Wingfoot, I still really liked golf, but I'd had a few disappointments along the way, and that same love and excitement to where, you know, I thought about golf all day and couldn't wait to get to the course the next day. You know, that wasn't, it wasn't as prevalent as it used to be. And just by being around Mike Gilmore here at Wingfoot, being around our membership who loves golf like no other membership I've ever seen, and then working with Def, you know, I am. I'm just a big kid that loves golf again. And, you know, that's been the biggest thing for me.
It's great stuff. Graham, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we definitely want to hear your thoughts on Whistling Straits, and you must be really excited about that. But we'll be back in 60 seconds. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
It's here at last. Golf season. South Shore Golf specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf, 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
There's a fire. All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. In studio is Woody Lashin. On the line is Wingfoot assistant pro Grant Sturgeon. And Grant is just about on his way. You're probably packing right now. It's got to be an exciting time for you to heading out to Whistling Straits to tee it up with the big boys.
You know, it is. You know, for us as club professionals, you know, I have been fortunate enough to play in one other major, the 2009 PGA. But this is only my second time, and it's just a special week to just experience what the best in the world do, to play on a championship golf course, and, you know, to try to compete with those guys. You know, it's a great learning experience, but it's also just a fun opportunity to kind of live out, you know, our childhood dreams. So we don't get to do it every week, but when we get weeks like this, it's, you know, it's something to cherish.
I'm curious, Grant, as to what are you going to use from last time? What are you going to try and do the same or different from your last experience playing in the PGA?
I'm going to do a lot of the same things. Fortunately, you know, I played really well the first 2 days at Hazeltine. So relative to my preparation, the biggest thing is just conserving energy. So, you know, when I get up there, just, you know, the stadium, the fans, you know, the fact that there will be 20 to 50,000 people on the grounds, you know, as soon as I get out there on Monday, and just the energy it requires to walk the golf course, to get from the locker room to the range, from the range to the putting green, all those types of things. So, you know, I did a great job. I had great advice from Mr. Bob Ford, who I worked for, you know, at the time. And he had a lot of experience, and he said, just conserve as much energy, you know, as I could, as I prepared. So I'll do that the same. And the one thing I'll do differently is I won't really do anything differently, but just recognizing last time I had no idea what it would take out of me mentally, just the adrenaline and the focus that's required, which, you know, I could feel an adrenaline rush the entire time. But I didn't realize how much that took out of me mentally. So just kind of understanding that this time, I think I'll kind of know my body as the week goes on, if I'm fortunate enough to reach my goals and get to compete all 4 days.
What is your plan for your preparation in terms of you're getting there? You said Monday for practice rounds. Do you have any rounds set up? Are you going to play with any pros, or are you gonna maybe try and hook up with some of the local guys? Obviously, you got Matty Dobbins and as well as Ben Pollen. What's your plan for the week?
I don't have anything set in stone as far as who I'm going to play with. One of my close friends, Adam Reno from the Connecticut section, also qualified. So between Adam, Ben, Brian, and Matt, I'll definitely play with at least a couple of those guys a couple of days, and we may all get together, the four of us Met section guys for nine holes one of the days. I have a few guys that that are out there, a few of the regular tour guys that are friends of friends, to where a couple may work out, but nothing set in stone. The big thing I probably will do, I have a tentative plan, if the weather cooperates, to play 18 on Monday and Tuesday, and then 9 on Wednesday. And even though that's a lot of golf on the course, I probably won't hit every tee shot off every tee and every second shot, just kind of getting mentally really comfortable with the lines off the tees and doing a lot of short game work around the greens. I'm a guy that I tend to play better the more time I spend on a golf course and the less time I spend on a driving range or short game area. So I'll just do most of my work out there on the course and hit enough balls to warm up and a few chips and putts. But as of now, that's my tentative plan.
Is there any concern, or have you done anything different to prepare physically for this test? Only because, like you said, mentally it's going to drain you. You've sort of crossed that bridge already the first time, but this is a big ballpark, and it's 6-7 miles, and it's a heavy 6 or 7 miles. That's going to be pretty physical. Have you done anything to prepare for that as well?
I haven't done anything extra, and the only reason I haven't is, I love being a club professional, and I still have all my work responsibilities, and,
right.
Us being a seasonal operation, I definitely try to do some things physically working out in the winters, but it's just not feasible time-wise to do in the middle of the summer. So, I feel pretty prepared for that, just being that, we do play multi-day events here in the Met section. I'm always walking with the caddy. Fortunately, we have a great caddy program here at Wingfoot. I'm always walking with the caddy.
Mm-hmm.
So, the biggest thing is just rest. So I have tried to eat a little bit better. I've tried to make sure I'm getting plenty of rest. But outside of that, I really haven't.
I'm curious as to what the response from the membership has been as far as the support for you to go and play. And
It is literally overwhelming.
I suspected it might be.
I have truly, I have worked at Wingfoot, being the fourth, four really special clubs. And everywhere I've been, the members have been amazing. The one thing that is different about Wingfoot is just the passion for competitive golf and the passion for golf in general. I have... fortunately, a lot of work responsibilities that I still have to handle, but literally the membership would love for myself and the other members of the staff here to play golf with them every day. And, I'm not able to do that, but it's just overwhelming, the support and helping me, relative to taking care of whether it's a ride to the airport or a few expenses when I'm up there, and just the continuous support and well wishes ever since I've been back, and especially since I've made it back from Philadelphia, and especially getting ready to fly out in a couple days. I'm very humbled daily and just very thankful and appreciative, because when it goes back to when I was talking about just bringing back my love for golf, when I was a really, really young guy, and they're a huge part of it. All they want to do is talk about golf and get better at golf and be around it every second of every day.
I'm curious if you could tell us a little bit about what it's like working for Mike Gilmour, because Mike has a special place in my heart. I think he's one of not only the best golf pros going, but one of the best guys going. And obviously he's done some of the stuff. He's played in a bunch of major championships. He's won a bunch of stuff. And, what have you taken from him to help you and try and advance your career?
Just just the humility, how he carries himself every day, and how he puts everyone else first. Mike is just someone that, you know, my impression is he gets his happiness and fulfillment from pleasing and helping others. And, you know, myself, just what he's done for me and as a golf professional, the opportunity to bring me aboard at Wingfoot to kind of mentor me, and just that it's all about golf, and it's all about helping our members enjoy golf. You know, the sacrifices that that he makes for every member when they come in the shop, whether he's playing golf with them, whether it's a golf lesson. He is, I mean, he's in the top five of the most giving individuals I've ever been around. So just his example is second to none.
Grant, I was just wondering about the getting ready, prepping your game for the PGA. What parts of the game have you practiced, or are you stressing maybe more than others?
Well, the biggest thing, I was fortunate enough to get out to Whistling Straits a couple weeks ago and get in two quick practice rounds just to see the course, and that was Mike's advice. He said, he said, I don't care how you do it, figure out your work schedule and make time to get up there.
Right.
So getting to see the golf course for a couple rounds, the biggest thing for me is going to be driving the golf ball. It's a long golf course, but I feel like I've got enough length to play it well. And also, I feel like as long as you get used to the lines off the tees, there's actually plenty of room once you get over the visual intimidation and not being able to see the landing area quite a few times. So I've hit a lot more drivers in three woods, you know, in preparation than I would normally do in practice. And the other thing is the greens are relatively big, and because I'm going to have some longer clubs in for my second shots, I feel like if I play well, I will be able to hit a lot of greens. But I'm also, it's not that, you know, myself or any of the other guys are going to have a ton of 10-footers. So I've just worked a lot on my lag putting and just driving the golf ball.
Great stuff. We're looking forward to that. But we got to take one more quick break. We'll be back in 30 seconds. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit PetesGolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. In studio is Woody Lashin, and on the line is Grant Sturgeon, assistant wing pro at Wingfoot, who's going to be heading out to Whistling Straits to tee it up with the big boys in the PGA Championship. Grant, I have Woody here, and I'm sure he's dying to know if you're going to be being an equipment guy that he is. I would be remiss not to ask if you're going to, you know, having seen the course, any changes to your equipment or any, you know, modifications or taking anything out in the bag or putting something else in?
You know, as of right now, everything's pretty much the same. I could add one additional hybrid, mm-hmm. and it just kind of depends on you know, the firmness of the golf course when I get up there. I'm a guy, I carry a driver, a 3 of 5 wood, a 3 hybrid, and then 4 iron through pitch, sand, and lob. So mm-hmm. I could throw in one more hybrid and remove the 4 iron, but just kind of relative, I'll just kind of monitor the firmness of the course and, you know, how much wind it seems like there's going to be. Relative to that, but everything's pretty set in stone there.
Well, Grant, we wish you all the best. I really appreciate that for you taking the time out of your busy schedule, your job, your preparation. It's been a pleasure to talk with you, and we wish you all the best.
Absolutely, gentlemen. It's a treat to be on the show this morning, and I just looking forward to Whistling and having a special week up there. But thank you all very much.
Thanks. Really, good luck next week.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a million, guys.
You got it. Best of luck. All right, that was Grant Sturgeon, the assistant pro at Wingfoot, who's going to be his second PGA Championship in 2009 he played. So he's had a little bit of experience. He's been through, it's not his first rodeo, so to speak, but Very impressive gentleman.
Wow, he was really impressive. I enjoyed talking to him. He's very well spoken, and
he'll rep.
He plays well.
Yeah, I hope he plays well. I hope he makes a cut, because he's certainly a fine representative of the Metropolitan.
Make the cut is a big deal.
It's yeah,
not very easy, folks.
No, it's definitely not. Not when you're, you know,
not when you play against the best of the best.
Exactly, who make a living doing it, and
you know, and you know, as much as he said, his preparation. He's probably got a whole bunch of lessons today. I mean, he's not,
You
know, the guys he's competing against are doing nothing but playing golf.
That's it.
Right? He's got responsibilities, shop responsibilities, lessons. I mean, he's got, you know, he's got a regular job. This is his second job.
Exactly. Exactly. And still, like he said, you can, it's not his first rodeo, but again, it's going to be, you're playing a Pete Dye course, which is always visually, as he intimated there, is going to be visually intimidating. And so now, and that intimidation almost becomes doubled when you have these big high mounds, but then you have throngs of people on top of them. It's going to be a lot to handle.
Yeah. I tell you, one of the cool things I think for us in the Metropolitan section is we have some of the best club professional golfers in the country.
Sure.
I mean, you've got three. You've got Ben Pollin and Matt Dobbins also playing in the PGA Championship.
Yeah.
There's no other section I think it has three guys going.
No. It's always typically one of the highest.
And so it gives us a lot of to root for. You know, it gives you something to, you know, you look at the scoring the first day and you go, where are these guys? How are the local guys doing? And one of the things, quite honestly, that people take advantage of is you can go watch these local guys play the State Open or the Met Open. The Met Open is going to be at Wingfoot.
Yeah, exactly.
We didn't get a chance to talk to him about that. What it's going to be at, you know, at the East Course.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of his two home courses.
Sure.
You can get a chance. You can go. There's no ropes. And you can go watch a guy who's playing in the PGA Championship.
Yep. And it's just reflective of, and of course, because of the types of golf courses we have in the metropolitan area. It's just some of the best in the world, and that's why we have some of the best pros in the world. There's no question about it. But we're just about out of time. Woody, always a good pleasure to see you and have you in studio. No question, the show's always better when you're in.
Well, thanks for having me, Anthony. I'll do my best to get back as soon as I can.
All right, good. All right, folks, that's all the time we have. Thank you for joining us. Like we said at the top of the show, it is gorgeous out there, so make sure you get a chance to get out there and play. It's beautiful, and make sure you stop in and see Pete and Woody if you need to address any of your equipment issues, and see your local pro for any swing issues, which we all have. So thanks for supporting us, and we'll see you next week. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.